Hey, Walker, where are you now?
Hey, Krista. How's Martha?
Just fine. Where are you now?
Bloor and Dundas dropped three young guys out of a high-rise. Looked like party time.
Did you go by her place?
Oh, yeah. Everything looks okay. That guy, her nephew?
Ralph.
Right. He was sitting on the porch having a cig. I could see it glowing. And his girlfriend,
Barbara.
She was sitting on the steps. I didn't see Mrs. Mogan. She was probably asleep because it was almost midnight. Everything looked like peaceful.
We'll go over there tomorrow, Walker, before we go to work.
Oh, geez.
September the 12th. I've rigged up Martha's buggy so Krista can push it in front of her with her wheelchair. They had to pass Mrs. Mogan's house twice a day on the way to the babysitter. Old Mrs. Mogan loved Martha. She was always patting Martha's cheeks.
It must be awful to live alone like Mrs. Mogan and be so helpless.
Yeah, but,
But what?
Well, we don't actually know anything's wrong, do we?
I do. She told me that Ralph keeps coming down from Montreal more and more, and it's just too much of a strain for her, and he has an awful temper.
Yeah, but she never said he gets angry at her.
She didn't have to. I saw the bruises.
You said she didn't say anything about the bruises.
She didn't have to. She moved her dress in a way so I could see the bruises on her arm. She wanted me to see the bruises.
Old people get bruises all the time. It could be lots of things. Diabetes.
Walker, I talked to her. You don't. I know what she's trying to say. You don't.
Okay. So what's our plan?
We don't have one.
Hey, you!
Hey, hi, Sammy.
You better watch out, eh?
Okay.
What's he talking about?
You'll get yours, eh? Smarty pants! Asshole!
Thanks, Sammy.
Don't encourage him. What's he being like that for?
I don't know. Well, Mrs. Mogan said he was acting strange, so she fired him. He's seen me doing some of her odd jobs. I guess, you know...
She didn't tell me she fired him.
You mean she doesn't tell you everything?
I guess not.
Sammy disappeared down the street, a big hulk of a man riding his rusty old bike and pulling a wooden wagon full of rakes and shovels and what all. He's about 50, still lives with his mother, does odd jobs around the neighborhood. Slow, people say. Sammy's not right in the head. We arrived in front of Mrs. Mogan's house. A dreary brown brick sits on top of the hill south of Danforth. I still didn't know what we were supposed to say. I mean, about the bruises and stuff.
Damn idiot!
This guy nearly ran us over, wheeling into a driveway.
Jeez, man, you just about hit us.
Are you okay?
Not really.
I didn't see you. You're all right, though, eh?
Not really.
Yeah, we're okay.
You just missed the baby by what, Walker?
3 feet.
3 feet?
I'm sorry. I usually... I got, like, a perfect record, you know, driven 30 years, professional. My mind was... I don't know. I'm sorry. Cute baby.
You're Mrs. Mogan's nephew, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Ralph Jacob, how you doing?
Hi. I'm Walker Devereaux. My wife, Krista. Our daughter, Martha.
Oh, that's one cute baby.
Yeah, thanks.
Where's Mrs. Mogan?
I don't know, I guess she's in the house. You know her, huh?
Yes, I do. Very well. We talk all the time. She tells me everything.
Yeah? Well, she's all right. And Jess? Look, I gotta go. Nice meeting you.
Ralph, did you find her?
Mrs. Mogan was suddenly there on the porch, looking worried, wringing her hands. She started down the steps.
Did you think to go into the subway station, Ralph? Maybe she didn't bother with the taxi cab after all.
Yeah, I did. She's nowhere. She's gone.
Did you look on the streetcars? Now, their streetcars go down Broadview.
She's gone. That's all.
Hello, dear.
Hi, Mrs. Mogan.
Walker.
Hello, Mrs. Mogan.
We've had a little upset, I'm afraid. It seems...
And Jess...
Well, Ralph's friend has run away.
She's a grown woman, Aunt Jess. She hasn't run away.
She doesn't know the city. She's from Montreal. She might get lost.
Oh, for Pete's sake. It's private, Aunt Jess, okay?
Well, all right.
So, how are you, Miss Mogan?
Oh, I'm just fine, dear. Let me have a look at Martha. Oh, my goodness. She's asleep again. She was asleep the last time I saw her. I suppose that means she's doing a good deal of growing.
It's nice to meet you folks. Come on in, Jess. It's a little chilly out here. Let's go back into the house.
All right. I'll see you again. You'll come by again soon. All of you.
Ralph took Mrs. Mogan's arm and led her back to the porch up the steps. She looked back at us once, then disappeared through the front door.
That was kind of weird. She seems okay, though. I guess.
Are we out of sight of the house?
Yeah.
Quick, look under Martha.
What?
She put something under Martha. I saw her.
Are you sure?
Find anything?
No. Yes.
What?
Oh, it's a scrunched up piece of paper.
Let me see.
What's it say? It's just a scrawl.
It says, Barbara didn't run away.
That note kind of freaked Krista out, and it worried me. So about 9 that night...
Oh, Walker.
Hi, Mrs. Mogan. Sorry it's so late. I just dropped by and...
Where's Ralph?
He drove back to Montreal, dear. Come in.
Yeah. Well, Mrs. Mogan, holding a wool cardigan tight to her, shuffling along in her slippers, led me through a large dining room full of heavy, lonely-looking oak furniture and out to a small, tidy kitchen in the back.
Well, we'll have a nice cup of tea.
We, found the note you put in Martha's buggy this morning.
That's nice, dear.
I'm so frightened. I'm so terribly frightened.
Mrs. Mogan, sit down, please. It's okay, here. Now, if something's going on, you know, Chris and I can get you some help.
He has such a temper. He's made me sign everything over to him. He wants me to sell my house. He says I can live with him and Barbara in Montreal. I don't want to live with them.
Of course not.
Now, she's nice. Barbara. She tried to help me.
Mm-hmm.
She told him he had no right. But he'd get so angry. He hit her. He made her cry. I heard them last night.
So she ran away.
Dear, listen. I went for a walk early this morning. Because I couldn't stand all the upset, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got back, Ralph said while he'd gone out for cigarettes, Barbara had left. Her bag, her extra clothes, everything gone. He went rushing out to see if he could find her. When he came back, well, that's when he nearly ran you and Krista over. You see, dear?
Well, no. She left, but you gave us that note. Didn't it say...
Barbara didn't run away.
She didn't.
I'm afraid. I'm so afraid she didn't run away. When Ralph went looking for her,
uh-huh.
I went up to the guest room where they were staying, but it was just as Ralph had said. All her things were gone. Her makeup, her extra dress, her dressing gown, her bag, all gone. Except... I found this.
What?
I'll show you, dear. I hid it in here.
A shoe?
Her shoe. I found it under the bed.
Well, maybe she left it behind.
No, dear. She was visiting. She only had the one pair of slippers and one pair of shoes. I'm sure of it. They were just staying the one night. And she had these shoes on before I went out for my walk. She was dressed, you see. How could she go anywhere in one shoe?
So, like, what are you saying?
I think she's still here.
Still here? Mrs. Mogan stayed in the kitchen, clutching her sweater even tighter, While I looked through the whole house, in closets, under beds, up in the attic, expecting to see at every step a trail of blood, and then Barbara's face staring back at me. I looked in the freezer. It was completely empty. There was another room off the side of the kitchen. Mrs. Mogan called it her late husband's study. Everything in there was the same as he'd left it 10 years before, except it didn't seem like so much a study to me as a laboratory.
Well?
Oh, nothing in here either, Mrs. Mogan. Maybe we're like jumping to conclusions, you know?
I hope so, but I don't think so.
No? So, this is where your husband worked?
After he retired, he worked mainly here. Before that, most of his work took place at the university, of course.
Oh, so he was what, a scientist?
A biochemist, dear. Would you do something for me?
What's that?
Would you look outside?
Outside?
Outside and in the back shed. I can't sleep here tonight otherwise.
Sure. Jeez, what an idiot. Who else would do this? You know, Barbara had 2 pairs of shoes, that's all. Or she was really afraid. She could run faster in her slippers, that's all.
Mrs. Mogan had given me a flashlight, so I worked my way past the back shed, past a vent in the ground that smelled vaguely of chemicals, slowly down the narrow yard to a rusty wire fence at the very crest of the hill. And then I noticed it, a little patch of freshly turned earth. It seemed way too small for a grave, but there it was, fresh as anything. So I went up to the back shed, picked up an old shovel I'd seen leaning by the door, went back down the yard and started to dig. It didn't take long. Didn't have to go very deep before I saw a patch of dark hair in the light. No, not hair. Fur. Black fur. I slipped the shovel deep underneath and pried it up. And up it came, the earth falling away from the body of a very large, white-eyed, swollen-tongued cat.
Did you find anything, dear?
No, no, Well, I haven't looked inside the back shed yet.
Oh.
I'll do that right now. I noticed that beat-up shovel out back looks like one of Sammy's. He hasn't been around lately, has he?
No, dear, I certainly hope not.
Oh?
Why?
Well, nothing. I'll check the shed. Oh, by the way, that pipe sticking out of the lawn? Where's it lead? It looks a little like an oil drum pipe, but there's no vent in it.
That is a vent, dear.
Oh. That's what I thought. It smells a little like your husband's study.
My husband was very particular about his chemicals. He didn't just throw his waste down the drain. Not my husband.
So he stored them?
He converted an old cistern. He used it for years and years. That's what the pipe vents.
Oh, yeah? So, where exactly is the cistern, then?
Why, it's under the floor in the back shed. Oh,
you stay here and I'll just, like, check.
It's under a carpet, dear. I think there's some old lawn chairs over it.
Okay.
The shed was full of storm windows, old newspapers, a mat rolled up and tied with twine tossed in the corner. In the middle of the floor, a large, well-worn Indian rug lay across the floorboards. One of the corners was pushed back in a large ripple, as if someone had pulled it aside and then forgot to smooth it out afterwards. I moved away some lawn chairs, lifted the corner of the rug, stripped it away. There was about a 2.5-foot square trap door beneath, carefully lined and fitted with rubber trim, like a large square stopper in a sink. I pulled off the trap. A wave of chemical fumes, mostly acidic, wafted up into my nose and eyes. It was really just a well to collect soft water as rain ran off the roof in the old days. But now, about 6 feet down, the liquid surface looked green and frothy in the beam of the flashlight, and at the center of the pool, just below the surface, shimmering, a woman's face looked back up at me.
Hey, Inspector Kiss.
Walker, come on in. Close the door.
I was just, like, in the neighborhood, so I thought I'd...
You'd snoop around. Sit down, sit down. Drink?
No, thanks, son. Driving.
Oh, well, that's commendable, but since I'm not...
So, that was Barbara Cohen, then?
Yeah, was is right. Not a pleasant way to go. Nice middle-aged Jewish woman, separated from her husband, picked the wrong boyfriend. Yeah. Life's like that, though, Walker.
Yeah, I guess so. Jeez. So, where's Ralph Jacob, then?
He's in custody. He's on his way back here for questioning. Thanks to you, kid. You sure you don't want to drink?
No, thanks.
Okay.
Police officers aren't supposed to drink on duty, are they?
No. So, Mrs. Mogan showed us the will this guy forced her to write. Power of attorney, cash withdrawals he made her make. The girlfriend didn't like it, threatened to go to the authorities. And he lost it. Gave her a chemical soup bath. What a joke. Anyway, so that's that. Nice work, kid. I won't see you around.
Yeah, well, okay. What about the cat?
The cat?
Well, you have to wonder, don't you? What was it doing there?
Well, I don't know what it was doing. I've thought about it, but there's no connection, believe me. So just forget the cat.
Right. They just kind of go together, you know, the well and the cat. It has the same feeling.
See ya.
Right.
Ralph Jacob said he and Barbara were going to go out to some shop on Queen Street West to pick up this antique chair Mrs. Mogan was having recaned. Barbara had a sudden upset stomach, so he went out alone. When he got there, the address turned out to be a 7-Eleven, no furniture repair shop in sight. By the time he'd got back to Mrs. Mogan's, Barbara had disappeared. He said he knew nothing about the will, that Mrs. Mogan insisted he retain power of attorney in case she became incapacitated, that he had never touched or threatened her or, for that matter, anybody in his life. Of course, he would lie. But I kept thinking, what if he wasn't lying?
Digging potatoes, Sammy?
Hey, they look good. You're gonna get it.
Yeah, so you keep saying. Sammy, you haven't been over to Mrs. Mogan's place lately, have you? Forget a shovel or...
Say again?
Put the pitchfork down, okay?
Smarty pants, she'll get you too.
What?
You got my cat. She'll get you too, asshole. You think you're so smart helping her and everything. You better watch out.
Your cat?
She said for me to show her my cat. Just to see it. Then she said it got lost. Lost? It didn't get lost. I know it. It's still in her house. I know it.
Okay, Sammy, take it easy, okay? I didn't know. So, like, what color is your cat anyway?
It's black.
Mrs. Mogan buried the cat? Around 2 a.m. that night, I decided to drive by her place, expecting it to be in darkness. It wasn't. The dining room light was on. I could see her seated at the large oak dining room table. She was looking through a pile of files and newspaper clippings spread out around her, seemed to be talking to herself, but I couldn't hear a thing. She kept banging on the files with a clenched hand, while all the time her mouth worked in a kind of frenzy. Then she stopped, looked around the room, then stared straight at me, blindly, then around the room again, uncertain, suddenly frightened, then quickly put the clippings back into their files.
Come on, Krista.
No, I am not talking to Mrs. Mogan while you sneak into her house. But pass the plate. Well, wash it first.
It'll only take a minute.
I know why you do this.
What?
Leave gunk on the dishes. So I'll wash them, and then you drop them so you don't have to dry them either.
What if Barbara getting suddenly sick so she couldn't go downtown with Ralph wasn't a coincidence? Lots of stuff in old Mr. Mogan's lab to make anything sick. What if that Indian rug was pulled away from the floor and the top to the cistern was opened and the thick mat wrapped in twine was laid over the hole instead? What if it was anchored by the twine to something nearby so that it wouldn't fall down the cistern and tell the tale? What if Mrs. Mogan called out for help? She'd fallen and Barbara came into the shed, and there was poor Mrs. Mogan lying on the floor in the alleyway between the storm windows and the lawn chairs just beyond the mat. And Barbara moved to help her and...
Stop. You're giving me the creeps.
See what I mean?
No. I don't care what Sammy said. She is a dear, sweet, 85-year-old lady walker. She's my friend. Besides, why would she do such a thing? It doesn't make sense. No.
Why, hello, dear.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Mogan.
What a pretty tam.
Oh, thanks. It's not new.
Well, it looks very jaunty, dear. Hello, Walker.
Hello, Mrs. Mogan.
Now, don't tell me Martha's asleep again.
No, she's awake.
Oh, there she is. There's Martha, bless her heart.
So, how's it going? I mean, after all that stuff, you know?
Well, better, dear. My nerves, of course. It's so terrible.
Yes, I'm so sorry, Mrs. Mogan.
By the way, I brought over some twine. I'll tie up all those old bundles of newspapers for you in the back shed and put them out. It's a fire hazard.
Oh, well, all right, dear. Thank you. Such a nice boy.
Yeah.
It took me all of about 30 seconds to go in through the back door, pull out the lower drawer of the sideboard where I saw her hide them, and pull out the files. They were newspaper clippings, all right. Fragile, yellowed ones dating from November 20th, 1945, the beginning of the Nuremberg trials, to just a month ago. Every war criminal who'd been found and brought to trial, and mounds of clippings on Simon Wiesenthal, hunter of the war criminals since 1947, and the Israeli secret police, and anything that touched on Nazi war crimes. It was as if she were running a news clipping service. There were no personal documents of any kind, except tucked away in the corner of the oldest-looking file, an old black-and-white photograph of a man and woman and a girl of about 14 holding a baby on her knee. Four people, frozen in time. The news clippings didn't seem to say anything specific, but the photograph? I slipped it into my pocket, put the files back, and got out of there. At first, Inspector Kiss just stared at me when I told him my Nazi story and called me a thief. But then he did look at the photograph with a magnifying glass.
1920s, I'd say. Man sitting, wife standing behind him.
A young blonde girl holding a baby. Looks like the girl's dressed in some private school uniform.
Yeah, like you said, the baby's pushed the girl's jacket out of the room.
Yeah. Oh, and there's a label inside
no,
that.
No, it's not a label. It's a name tag. It's part of one, anyway. N-A-H. And the first three letters of her last name. K-R-U. U. What about that?
Hello? Yes. It's for you, dear.
Right. Thanks. Hello?
Hello there. Found anything out yet?
No. I dropped around to see how Mrs. Mogan is.
No kidding.
Who is it, dear?
Just a friend.
Anyway, I found out a few things.
What?
I found out plenty. Mrs. Jessica Mogan, nee Jessica Polanski, came to Canada with her Canadian-born husband in 1952.
Mm-hmm.
Met him while he was doing a research paper at a hospital in Buenos Aires. She was a war refugee from Poland, landed in Argentina in 1945. Now, we had a look at the Nazi war criminal lists, but there's no Jessica Polanski, but, well, guess what?
What?
What is it? What's going on?
One Hannah Krugel. Now, you remember the initials on the kid's jacket?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one Hannah Krugel. MD, minor Nazi party hack, gets rewarded with her own research clinic outside Dresden, where she conducts so-called scientific experiments on human subjects.
Mm-hmm.
And immerses people in freezing water to see how long it might take a flyer down to the North Sea to die of hypothermia. In burning tanker oil to find out how much flesh a person can lose before they die.
Oh, jeez.
Who are you talking to, Walker? Who is it?
Now, she's not on the list because she experimented on the institutionalized retarded, the gypsies, the homeless, and... Well, so no one cared.
Walker?
but she never knew that.
I said, who is it? Tell me. I have to know.
It's ironic, eh? Anyway, keep her amused. I'll be right there.
Give me...
It's all right. He hung up.
Dear, what's the matter? You're pale as a ghost.
She used Sammy's cat to test the drug she put in Barbara's food to make her sick.
Oh, okay, Walker.
She thought Barbara Cohen was a spy sent by the Israelis. Barbara must have done or said something, God knows what. So she framed Ralph. Here. The photograph was the only thing in her real past she couldn't bear to part with.
Oh.
Hey. You all right?
Yeah. You know what makes me sick? Besides you going over this forever?
What?
That she was a monster. She was always stroking my daughter's cheek. And I didn't sense anything at all.
Neither did I.
You've just heard Midnight Cab, episode number 23, The Mystery of the White-Eyed Cat by James W. Nichol. Featured in the cast were David Ferry as Walker and Jacqueline Samuda as Krista. Neil Monroe returned as Inspector Kiss, with John Winston Carroll as Ralph Jacob and Wayne Robson as Sammy. Special guest was Miriam Newhouse as Mrs. Mogan. Our score is composed and conducted by Milan Kinlicka, with casting by Linda Grierson. Our recording engineer is Joanne Anka, with sound effects by Matt Wilcott. Production assistant, Susan Taves. Midnight Cab is produced and directed in Toronto by our executive producer, Bill Howell. For The Mystery Project, I'm Bob Bovin.